Welcome in, Hawks fans. Your boy Bryce Lewis back at it again for another Believe in Hawks episode. And got a special guest with me today. We're continuing the run of special guests we have on the show. Nick Mantis here on the pod, sports reporter from KSAT 12 and San Antonio. Obviously giving us perception from San Antonio's perspective today as a team that we've been connected to between the Hawks and Spurs. But Nick, first, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm good. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, we're starting to get closer and closer. These rumor mills are starting to get stronger and stronger. So it is an exciting time to be covering these teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously you guys were in the spot we're in this year. You guys had the first pick last year. Obviously it was much easier to know who you were going to take, had a generational prospect in that draft. But at the same time, we are in that same position. And also at the same time, y'all control the next 3 years of our draft picks. So so the San Antonio Atlanta connection is very, very strong right now.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But so we're going to go into that. But first, I want to talk about the Spurs in general first. Coming off this season, obviously, we knew they weren't going to be that great. The biggest thing they wanted to see was Victor. How was Victor going to pan out in the league? He ended up being probably everything you expected, maybe even a little bit more. You know, you can see why he's considered the ultimate mismatch, a unicorn, whatever you want to call him, an alien, whatever. But just reflecting on the season that San Antonio had, what is the biggest takeaways for you for this team?
I think it was that it hit everything that we thought it was going to hit as far as goals are concerned, especially for Wemby. But I think that there's still something missing. I think that was definitely the thing that I think it brought people back to reality, because there's been, ever since 2014, the last championship, there's been, you know, this buzz about, you know, where are we going as an organization? Where's the Spurs brass thinking? Is Pop starting to get towards that age where we should, you know, he should think about choosing a successor? Is there somebody in the wings, you know, that would be a good fit? And then you get this new energy source that comes in with, you know, not just, you know, getting the number one pick, but getting Wemby. And then he has the year that you were just describing. I think for a lot of people, there was almost like a jump. Okay, we're back. And then they see what happens when it's just him by himself and not really having a ton of, you know, you have your role players, but when he's out, it's almost, you know, there's a lot of people who are looking at it as a guaranteed loss. And so I think it's for a lot of people, it was a little bit of a taste of reality and saying, you know, this is good. Yeah, this is great. We got a phenom. You have, you know, I'm pretty sure if I remember, LeBron didn't make the playoffs this, you know, for rookie year either. And so it's just, okay, here's where we are. So now let's build off of this. Let's find a JR. Let's get somebody else in here. Let's try to build around that. And I think that's the part of what came in the rest of the season. And I think a lot of people were excited to see him. Ticket sales were as high as we thought that they were going to be. And it was an exciting experience. But I think a lot of people, you know, were brought back to reality and are very realistic about this team is exciting to watch. He's exciting to watch. The energy, and you could see a media day, like Pop was there's a little bit more bounce to him again, you know, because he knows he has somebody who's walking in the same footsteps as, you know, a Robinson, a Duncan, and then you got him, you know, as the number one pick and a rookie of the year. So things are good, but as you have now the fourth and the eighth pick, how can we get better? How can we develop? Mm-hmm. What can we do as far as trades? Is there a point guard in the wings that can do a little bit better than Trey Jones? Where are we going to dance here? And so that's the mystery of this offseason and the excitement behind it as well, which is that there's a lot of pieces. There's a lot of ways they could play. So,
yeah. And I think what's interesting too for you guys is that, you know, the biggest thing I've seen is just if you guys can make the right moves. You know, obviously we're not saying that Spurs are about to be championship contenders, but like, you know, you're always looking at the next step, which is like play-in, you know, that range.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for San Antonio right now, it's going to be important to, you know, figure out and identify who you want as that core with Wemby. I think before Wemby, I looked at you guys from Devin Vassell and Keldon and out and Jeremy and, you know, Trey Jones. And it's like, you know, there's some young talent here.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, is that now with Wemby, the group that you want to keep, is there's people from that group you want to move? Do you completely restart the core with Wemby? Yeah. So I guess one of the questions now is, like you said, you have the fourth and eighth pick in the draft. There have been a lot of players connected, obviously, in this draft class to you guys. And the question is San Antonio trying to be sellers? Are they trying to move up? Are they trying to acquire a veteran? Right now, what do you think is the best move for San Antonio with those picks? You know, are they, do you think it's just maybe better for them just keep adding a couple of young players from this draft and then maybe just seeing, okay, we'll worry about free agency and all the other stuff once we get past that?
I think it might be a little bit of bias for me to think about like who would be a fit in the point guard position for maybe, either it's a pick with that fourth pick, or you can get somebody who can, you know, bring in who has a lot of tenacity. One guy that I've been watching, a little bit about my history, I don't know if you can see in the double box behind me, but there's a Arizona lacrosse helmet right there. So I went to the University of Arizona where I was a strength and conditioning coach. And one of the guys I worked with was TJ McConnell. And him being the, you know, bulldog point guard that he is and the way he was able to step up at the Eastern Conference Finals, it was really exciting to see. And I was texting him throughout the season, you know, trying to see if he was going to be in San Antonio. We can meet up. We didn't get a chance to see each other again, but that was a guy who I was really close to in college as an intern strength coach. And I think that he would be just his ability to, you know, connect with the team, his ability to have, he has a great tenacity. There's friends of mine here who said, okay, yeah, but we have Trey Jones. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, but at the same time, when it comes to somebody, Trey Jones still has the ability. He has since Duke in this first couple of years here in San Antonio, he's had the ability to have an incredible outside shot and he can be quick in the lane. But as far as somebody who can do both on both ends, I like the fact that, you know, maybe TJ's not going to give you 30 a night, but he's still going to have an incredible amount of tenacity on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that Pop or other people would love that. Kai is TJ's a coach's son. You know, he comes from Duquesne and then went over to Arizona. And so I think that having another coach out there in the court is what you want in somebody who can play the point guard position. And so that's maybe, you know, that's a little out there, you know, because it's just maybe a little bit of my, you know, University of Arizona bias. But at the same time, I think he's shown a lot of people around the NBA that, you know, he's somebody to really look out for, and maybe somebody who, you know, they could make some trades for, bring somebody in like that. Whether that's with the eighth pick or whether you get a point guard, you know, I liked UConn's guards this past season, what they were able to do. And so grabbing one of those guys, you know, I think, you know, at the backcourt position, is definitely something to keep an eye on as well. I think it's there's a lot of different options like we were talking about before we started the show. And I think, I would like to see maybe bringing somebody in to be another, you know, a veteran point guard like TJ or somebody else, maybe to be either your starter or to bring whoever you use for that fourth pick up to speed as to what Pop is thinking, what it's like to play defense in the NBA, you know, which is people like to call that a joke nowadays, but you know, at the same time, I think if there's anybody who still resembles that, it would be somebody like TJ McConnell.
Yeah. I mean, listen, TJ, he's always that one player. He's like, he was on multiple teams, but like when he plays, he feels like he can impact the game. Yeah. And so it's interesting that you brought that up. Cause I mean, he would definitely be a good player to bring in, I think, for any team. Just what you said for tenacity, what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. But so now this transitions me into the Hawks Spurs connection here.
Yeah.
So obviously they're in the market. People feel like a guard, especially with Wimby. You have Wimby. You need that guard to go with him. Atlanta has two that has been mentioned in many conversations throughout the season. You know, there's been rumors that San Antonio and Hawks did talk at the trade deadline just, you know, to see, you know, about interest levels. And there's rumors that have always seen packages that they may want. They may want the first pick. They may want to package picks and players for a guy and things of that nature. So there's a lot going. So the first person I want to ask you about out of the two is DeJounte Murray. Obviously, we got DeJounte from you guys. Yeah. At that time, San Antonio said, we're rebuilding. DeJounte, you don't have to stay here through that. Now you have Wimby. And, you know, people and I feel like even though DeJounte didn't leave San Antonio the best, it seems like it's been forgiven. It seems like people have moved on. And I've seen some Spurs fans be kind of be like, I kind of wouldn't mind having him back now with right. what we have. And then DeJounte has talked about multiple times. He's still in contact with Pop, loves Pop, yeah. still has a good relationship with him. Is that a guy? Do you think that's a realistic option that San Antonio will explore for him first? Just because, like, obviously he'll probably cost you less than what Trey would.
Yeah.
But is that something that they may want to actually explore a reunion there?
That I definitely could see that happening. Because not just, you know, obviously we talked about just the relationships that he has with the organization and the city. But I think that's something that you brought up a great point just now about it's going to be a little bit cheaper as far as what you'll have to give in order to get him back. And I think that, you know, he's somebody who could not only, you know, offensively give a great, you know, opportunity, but he understands the system. You know, he knows what Pop's going to want. He knows, you know, that maybe the couple assistant coaches have switched around a little bit, but he can get a sense of what this is going to be. So that, for me, I think that would be option number one, just because of what the connection to this organization, the connection to the game plan, as well as the fact that it'll be cheaper. As far as who I think Spurs fans here in the city want to see, it's making a big splash like getting Trey Jones. What that's going to cost, whether that's, you know, Jeremy Sochan and, you know, Trey Jones and a couple of other picks, whether that's, you know, the whole kit and caboodle as far as everything that the Spurs have this year, plus cash, you know, I think that's always a conversation. And so it'll be that I think will be a little bit more risky just because of the fact that we saw them hanging out at the All-Star game, you know, All-Star weekend and stuff like that. There's always fun to see them getting to spend time together. But as far as them actually gelling on a team, that I think can be a little bit more risky. And so option number one, I would say go with DeJounte, knowing that he can be a little bit more of a glue towards that. And he gets to enjoy coming back and being a star again. I think that he had that while he was here, but I think he had a little bit of that Wemby was going through right now. It's like, you're great, but we don't have anything else to build around you. You know? And so we're going to rebuild. We're going to bring, you know, get a couple of, you know, top 10 picks in, get, you know, Devin Vassell, you know, other guys and stuff like that. And we'll see what we can do. And now that we have the guy, we have Wemby, you can be, you know, the, you know, Damian Lillard to Giannis. You can be that guy, and we're going to need you to have that ability to spread the floor and hit threes. And if there's anybody who knows how to do that in a San Antonio Spurs uniform, it's DeJounte.
Yeah, especially because I know when he left, I mean, one of his weaknesses in his offensive game was shooting. That's something that has improved under us a lot. His offensive game has improved in different ways because he's had to play a little bit differently. He's been a two guard.
Right.
And I think that has helped his game in some capacity. And I think, but I agree with you that I think he wants to go back playing a point guard position. I mean, it makes sense. It's understandable. Yeah. So, I mean, that would obviously be something he could do. He knows what the Spurs culture is and he knows what they expect from them. So it definitely is someone. And then you're getting a guy who, you know, he, I don't know how much you've been able to pay attention to what he's done in Atlanta, but he's hit game winning shots. He's been a clutch player. He's had big games. Like he can be that guy where, you know, Wemby gets 40, he can go get 30. And I think that's important to have when in these situations, you always want those top duos if you can, especially in the Western Conference. But, you know, now going, like you said, you mentioned a little bit about Trey. Going in the Trey one has been always interesting because of, like you said, the relationship. It feels like Trey would love to play with a guy like Victor. You think Trey and Victor would just be unstoppable with his passing ability, you know, Victor, just the height and just his skill. That's like the high-end trade you can make with those two. But there has been some reports I've seen where they're like, there's just not sure if Trey fits maybe San Antonio's culture, what they want there. And that's why I've seen reports where they say they do have interest. They don't have interest. Interest is kind of whatever. It's like I haven't gotten it consistent with Spurs' interest in Trey Young is. I've seen a package, like I said, both picks, plus some of the first-round picks that we gave you guys, giving some of those back. Than giving up maybe a Vassell or a Jeremy or Vassell and Keldon or something, some type of big package. Do you think that would be a feasible thing? You know, obviously getting Trey back, you know, a guy who averages 25 and 10. But, you know, you are, like I said, giving up some of those assets, which with Trey wanting to be in a win now situation or being in a more winning situation, I don't know how greatly you think that might change San Antonio's perspective. Obviously, we have to see how free agency goes. But, I mean, is that something you think the Spurs are willing to do so early in the process with Victor and just be that aggressive in making a move like that?
I don't think that they are. And that's, I think it might shock a lot of people, but I don't think that they are. It's interesting that the concept of not skipping steps, walking up a staircase and not having to worry about, oh, let's jump to here, let's jump to there. That has been a mindset that Pop has been echoing almost, you know, countless times a week in press conferences. That you hear when they ask Wemby about his idea of it, he's like, you know, I don't want to skip steps. And I was like, oh, the message is getting to the player. You know, it's not that far of a trickle down, you know. And so it's interesting to hear his perspective is, you know, that this is going to be something that they're going to work on for a while. And, you know, Pop's got a 5-year contract. And now after this year, now it's 4 years and stuff. It was an extension. And so, yeah, he doesn't want to leave. You know, he's, you know, enjoying, you know, his wine cabinet as well as the ability to have an incredible French phenom. You know, there's been plenty of social media videos of them going out to dinner in downtown San Antonio, not too far from my apartment here. And so it's like, you know, they're enjoying their time together. They're building together, talking together, spending time. And I think that's part of this process is take it easy, take it slow. We'll see what we can get. Maybe there can be some more options, you know, but not, I think that the perspectives and maybe what they were trying to say through the tea leaves of saying that it's not maybe a good fit for what Trey is going to want in San Antonio might not be the city. It might not be the organization. It might just be Trey wants to win, you know, with maybe get him over to LA, you know, maybe get him somewhere where he can have an opportunity in the Western Conference to get in, to get some, you know, actual decent, more competitive seasons and deeper runs and playoff experience, because that's what he's looking for. The Spurs are like, we used to be in a position of like, everybody help us. Now that they got a little bit more swagger and confidence, they're like, okay, we can grow from here. You know, the stump is starting to grow a little bit bigger. We'll go from here. And so it's been interesting to see how that's really changed in one season. And we're still tempering with expectations. You'll have people, you know, a national network saying that, you know, he wants, you know, Wemby wants to be out in 3 years and he's going to LA. You obviously don't live in San Antonio and you haven't spoken with Wemby. I can see that because that's not the perspective of him or the organization or, you know, anything that he believes in. And he, before the draft, he talked about one of his biggest strengths was that his mental toughness, you know, doesn't party, doesn't drink, works out, does his thing. You know, you're not going to see him at a nightclub here in downtown. It's not him. He's easy to spot him.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Cause he's going to hit his head on the ceiling and, you know, when everybody's jumping up and down. And so it's just part of the process of like getting to know this guy this past year has been fun, you know, and hearing from him and stuff. And so, you know, I think that the slow and steady is going to win this race. And I think that's the way that they're going to move forward. Unfortunately for Trey, you know, he's looking for the option. And, If that's, you know, what he's looking for, he might not be able to find that here in San Antonio.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, from the Trae Young perspective, I know that the rumors were hot. Recently, I've seen some rumors that are kind of like, all right, Trae's probably going to be here. Obviously, like I said, with the first pick, see what that turns into for Atlanta. And then we'll see what other moves they make. This is why it's considered a big offseason for the team.
Right.
You know, because I mean Trey also has a personality. He doesn't give me I want out vibes. He doesn't give me that. He's just kind of like, I'll play basketball. I just want to make sure you guys are trying. And if that's the case, we'll see where we are. And then when the contract comes up, we'll see what best decision for me is, which is fine, you know, because some guys are more assertive and like talk. And you know, a lot of things are media push, like you talked about with Wemby. Oh, he's gonna leave. I remember having those conversations. They're the playoffs, you know, Wemby, you know, Spurs, if they don't win next year, you know, he's going to already start thinking about it. It's just like, what? Like, he just wants to play basketball. I'm sure he wants to win. Like, anybody wants to win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not going to be like, if we're not winning championship contention by the time I'm out of here or the first contract ends, I'm going to dip. Right. Usually most players sign because they want the money.
Yeah.
And then that second contract, one after that, it's like, all right, where are we now? Because I'm getting a little bit older. So, I think it's interesting, you know, about that when people try to drive that media, you know, from national media, especially because local media, we're like, we kind of know how he feels.
Right.
National is kind of like, all right, what's going to create storylines? So
who's going to click on this? Let's see what I can say. Get you click on this real quick. Yeah.
To him. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. So I'll just ask you this quick question. So obviously you've covered Wimby all year long. Can you just talk about that experience? Obviously, outside of when you see him, he's like, you know, you got to put the mic up there. Hey, but just him as a player, obviously coming in from France, like you said, he doesn't party, doesn't drink. He works out, he plays basketball, he's dedicated. And, you know, I think also one of the smartest things you guys did this year was have that minutes restriction for him. You know, not say you're going to play 35 minutes a night from the get-go. Because they knew, even though he's a generational guy, he's still a skinny guy. You know, he can't have him out here against Joker 35 minutes a night just like it's nothing. Yeah. And I think that was big for him. So can you talk about just that Wimby experience that you went through in San Antonio this year covering him?
Yeah, one of the things that we all kind of learned this year was patience. Mm-hmm. You know, be ready to let this develop, let him do his thing, get him within the system and just, you know, primarily be ready for what he can, you know, get going. And I think one of the things that also people forget was that he just came off of a championship in his mm-hmm. league in France and then flew over and went for the draft. And then he also was doing, you know, he was in the draft in New York and then the next day flew out to San Antonio to be there for, you know, to all the fans who were out there, you know, with breakfast tacos in the airport, yeah. You know, making sure that, you know, and then there was, and then him and, you know, the rest of the draft class were there at the Riverwalk, you know, with the beautiful, you know, theater yeah. there in downtown. And so it was like, you know, do all the fanfare, do all the excitement, but then, you know, fly back and rest, you know, and relax a little bit. And then, you know, people started getting excited again about the, you know, summer league and stuff and what's that going to look like. And then mm-hmm. they had the whole, I don't remember the whole Britney Spears situation, you know, where she went and grabbed him, you know, in a hotel in Vegas and stuff.
I remember
and
then, that. You
know, and they're like, oh, he swatted at her. Like his security team, like hit her. It's like, hey, you're coming out of nowhere, like yelling at Wimby. Like, you know, the guy's, you know, 7'5". Like he didn't swat at anybody. Security team was like, whoa, they didn't see her coming. So there was just kind of a crazy, wild, you know, spring, you know, draft into the summer. And so I think for him, you know, it was more along the lines of just kind of getting an idea of what it was going to be like. And I think, you know, Pop was like, okay, let's work him into this. Because sure, it's going to be a lot more aggressive to play internationally. Like he came and one of the first things he said was like, we do not get beat around like we do in Paris. Like we get elbows, knees, everything. Like people are coming for you internationally. And so now, you know, how he can get up to speed as the way in which things were going, I think it all taught us that everybody's going to need a little bit of a ramp, you know, whenever you're getting into a new position. And so let him enjoy that. Let him get into it. By, I want to say the holidays, you know, he was almost completely going full tilt, you know, and a lot of people were pumped and we had Spurs specials where we're, you know, debating how many minutes he's going to get tonight, you know? And so it was just because you try to, I mean, Pop's not going to give it to you. You know, you try to ask Pop and stuff like that. And one of the best things I really do feel for them, but almost every single game, the newspaper media guys, they'll say, you know, hey, what happened out there tonight to Pop? And he goes, where were you sitting? You saw what happened. Like, were you not watching? You know, and so he's not going to tell you. Like, if that's how you open the press conference, that's okay. We're going to have to dig through this. We're going to have to be more specific with our questions. We're going to have to, you know, be a little bit more attentive to how things are going. And so, you know, we weren't getting a lot from the organization as to his increase. You know, it wasn't a press release about like, please be patient. It was, this is what we're doing. And you guys are just going to have to deal with it. And so I think that was one of the things that I think a lot of us learned this year and to just temper expectations. And I think that was a huge deal because I know a lot of people in not just in our department, but at different stations here in San Antonio, the local TV market was like, you know, let's get everything, you know, let's be this first water bottle chug. You know what I mean? Like, let's get every single, like, if he's stepping out, we're there. You know, if there's anything, what, you know, like there were people, Tim Duncan, I think it was Manu and David Robinson all went to this one restaurant here in the Southtown area of San Antonio with Pop. Within 30 minutes of their dinner, there were people outside the restaurant, like in the street, like hundreds of people, like waiting for him to come out. They had a security to block off the area so they can get to the, you know, travel bus that they were in, you know, as a dinner. And then they all were able to leave quietly and peacefully. But like, everybody was ready for all of it. And so I think that's one of the things that we all had to learn, was to be ready for anything that can happen. To learn more about him as a player. His frustrations mainly are due to himself, the way that he is developing. I think that was a part of his process that he had to learn as well. That it's going to be some time for him to be playing at the level that he wants to play at, and to ignore all the noise. You know, I think that I want to say Bol Bol at one time, you know, was yelling at the refs for, you know, saying that they were calling calls on Wemby soft, you know, or stuff like that. And it's just, he didn't have anything to say about that. You know, he didn't really pay attention. Man.
Bol Bol probably feel like, I'm the original unicorn. What are we talking about here?
You know, all the you know, talking heads, people in all different parts of, you know, in national, we're talking about, you know, it's just another Bol Bol. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
I've talked to people who talked about Wemby and they were like, I just don't know. Right. Tall guys don't really last. He could be all mean and da 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 da. I was like, I don't know, guys. Yeah, we got to see, because listen, he put on some amazing performances. I mean, you see, like, he is like very strongly probably going to be the best player of the next generation, it feels like, of basketball players.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I think is big. And I think it's great for you guys, because we were able to cover the start and the career of this guy who came in and just took over the league.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's almost like a moment of talking with people who have been in this market for decades. It's, you know, it's a moment of, here we go again. You know, when people are like, okay, you know, we got David Robinson, and he wasn't maybe what, he didn't grow into, you know, he had his numbers his first couple of years, but he wasn't able to get them to where they needed to be. Now, okay, now we got Tim Duncan. Okay, he's exactly as advertised, you know, so he's a little bit more, Wemby, I say, because maybe a little bit more towards the Tim Duncan, at least in his first year, you know, and the numbers that he was able to put up. And so now, as we've been discussing, it's all about finding him as Tony Parker, as Manu Ginobili. And one of the guys I think that a lot of Spurs fans here want to make sure doesn't leave is Devin Vassell. He's, you know, not only was he able to, you know, have incredible numbers last year, but he's able to be, he got hurt. So a lot of people were wanting to see how he was able to do this year, when he pretty much played the position as the number two guy on this team. Everyone came in, they're like, okay, Wemby's going to be the guy. So when Wemby was out, Devin Vassell took over, you know, and we thought, what about Jeremy Sochan? What has he been up to? He struggled at certain times. I think a lot of it had to do with him getting in foul trouble early, you know, and there was a lot of moments where, you know, I think he, one of the guys that a lot of people like to talk about is this, you know, he has a little bit of a temper from time to time, is Zach Collins. You know, another big guy and stuff. And so seeing Zach, you know, go at people, I think it's rubbed off on Jeremy a little bit, you know, and he went to school in the area. He's from Baylor Bear, and, you know, can have opportunities to go back up to Waco and see his team and stuff. But there was a little bit more nasty in Jeremy Sochan's game this past year. And I think it's really interesting, because it's not what I think a lot of people are expecting from a top 10 pick, what he can develop. Mm-hmm. Year after year after year. And if it gets to the point, you know, maybe him and, you know, Keldon Johnson could be a package to get those guys moving on, and those fourth and eighth pick can be, you know, maybe good replacements, or, you know, because I unfortunately Keldon Johnson's not been what people expected him to be. And he had to kind of take over as the guy, and now, you know, a ton of games where he's coming off the bench as the sixth man. And so it's been interesting, but I think, you know, definitely Wemby and Devin Vassell are the two people that a lot of people want to blow up the scene. And I think they're like, okay, but keep Dembele and Devin Vassell. Everyone else can go, but keep Dembele. I'm like, okay, all right, let's not get extreme.
Go crazy. Yeah. No, it's interesting you say that because another trade option between the two teams has just been literally you guys giving up 4 and 8 and maybe another first for the first pick we have again this year.
Right.
I don't know if that's something that you think would be enticing to them. But again, this is a draft class that they say isn't world beaters. I mean, realistically, if you make the trade, I don't see you drafting a guy like Alex Saar. You got Wimby. I guess unless you want 2 7-foot-plus guys in the front court, maybe.
Sure.
I mean, maybe Zachary Richichet, maybe. I don't know. You know, yeah. Is that something you think San Antonio would explore, is maybe getting the first pick again from Atlanta?
Maybe. There were rumors that came out the last couple of weeks about that and stuff. And the first thing that a lot of us did, especially in our newsroom, was look around and go, why? Like, for who? You know what I mean? Like, if you want a Twin Tower situation, I'm sure Zach Edey will fall to 4. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, that people are going to be there. You know, the people that I feel the worst for in this situation is I moved down here from Michigan, and I was in Lansing, Michigan. And so we covered a little bit of the Detroit Pistons from time to time. And yet again, you know, you can have, you know, the worst record. You can have, you know, just a horrible season. You can do some tanking. You can decide whether or not you're going to keep your coach. And then you still don't get the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been brutal for them. But as far as going back to what, you know, Atlanta got the number one pick, the luck of the draw of it. And I think that a lot of people are looking at it and saying, you know, the Hawks have a little bit more confidence, just like the Spurs used to, like last year. It's like, okay, now we're in control now. You know, now we got this number one, we can do some. So I think that the Spurs can offer up a couple of opportunities, but it would have to be something big. And I don't think that the Spurs are in a position. I think the Spurs have their confidence back again to where, you know, they almost feel like maybe OKC last year, you know, where it's like, okay, we can build a team where we can get into the playoffs, we can make a run. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they're looking to do that. And I think there's a couple of options in the draft. And, you know, I want to see them go with that point guard position with the number 4, you know, and then maybe get a power forward for the, you know, that 8th pick. And just stay where you're at. You know, you're doing fine. You got a couple of people on the Austin Spurs you can bring in. Julian Champagny is a decent, you know, 2. Sometimes he can play the 1 as well. But, you know, you have options. And so I think that not doing anything drastic right now, it's a perfect way for everybody to realize that this process of, you know, of slow and steady wins the race. And I think that's the way that the Spurs are going to continue going. If they decided to try to get that number one pick from Atlanta, I would be shocked. Have me back on the pod and be like, Nick, I told you so.
I got to get you back on.
Yeah, exactly. How are you feeling? I'm like, this is insane out here. There would be tinfoil on the head. There would be all kinds of, like, you ever seen, Always Sunny, when he has the board with a bunch of, like, he's like going crazy. He has like a bunch of.
I want to say, I haven't watched it a lot, but I want to say I remember that from faintly what you're talking about.
You've probably seen it as like a meme and stuff like that, where like the, you know, they're like, he's like, Charlie's like wide eyed and he's like trying to connect the dots through like this yarn on like different, you know, press clippings and stuff. Like, that's how it's going to be around here, you know, because they were like, for whom? You know, like, where are we going? You know,
we just had all these assets. Why would we just give them back?
Exactly. So you got enough, you know, in the bank right now. So just enjoy it and build and grow and really do. And I think that's what they've been doing the last couple of weeks, is really doing a lot of talent evaluations. You know, whether that's, you know, either, you know, quietly bringing guys in, whether that's, you know, looking at a lot more film off of the, you know, what they were able to do, you know, in their college ranks and stuff, calling coaches, talking to people at the college ranks. And I think it's evaluation time right now. And I think that the Spurs are going to find who they need at that number 4 and their number 8 and sit right there and enjoy it. So, you know, I think we'll definitely, you know, keep reading the tea leaves as to whether or not Atlanta wants to maybe get a couple people, knowing that you know, you got that number one pick, but drastic is not how this Spurs organization has been, you know, doing business the last couple of years. So
yeah, definitely known for patience and building and growth and all of those things. And so I think it's nice hearing these rumors between the two, but like you said, you don't think they're going to be like super big splash. The most likely thing out of the three probably is the Jante thing, if they feel like it's a reasonable enough deal. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do have a conversation just to see, okay, how are we, you know, feeling things out like anybody would.
Yeah. Why not? You know? Yeah.
So yeah. I think we'll have to see how that works out. So it's been interesting, but I appreciate you, Nick, for giving me a great conversation on Believe in Hawks, man. Sure. Our two teams, man. Yeah. Let people know where to find you. You know, if we have San Antonio people watching this, let them know everything that's going on.
Right. So San Antonio people will probably know me from doing a lot of reports on KSAT 12 here in town, where I'm not only a sports reporter, but also fill-in anchor, doing stuff on the weekends as well. And you can find me on, I've now been doing a lot of work for KSAT, we have to do a KSAT Instagram as well as a regular, you know, Instagram record. So my KSAT Instagram is KSAT Nick, as well as a Twitter, KSAT Nick. You can find me there. Nick Mantis TV is where you can find my personal Instagram as well for a lot more. You know, I post some reels from the behind the scenes of coverage that we have, and then you'll see a lot of my work will be on my work pages, like the finished stories and packages and stuff that we got going on. So you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook as well. Nick Mantis, M-A-N-T-A-S. You see it right down there. Exactly. So so that's what we got going on. As far as what's coming up, we're going to have a ton of Spurs coverage when it comes to the draft. I know that we might have, I'm pretty sure we're thinking about doing a Spurs draft special. But at the same time, this time of year gets crazy because high school sports just, you know, you ended with softball and baseball ending last week, but now we're kind of going into a period where, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, June's going to be a little bit quiet. We'll, you know, get things going when it comes to NBA coverage, but then, you know, we got Cowboys camp in California coming up in July, and then we're going right back into, as I'm sure you've seen from any type of TV show, high school movie, you know, high school football 2-a-days are coming, and it gets wild here in Texas. So
I believe it, yeah.
So we got a lot coming up, and you know, social media is the best place to find me because I'm always trying to stay on there and stay updated, and so it's good to connect with more people, and so I welcome people to come check out what we're doing here in San Antonio because, you know, we always like, you know, meeting more people and talk to more people. So
yes, sir. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on here, talk to me about some Hawks, talk to me about some Spurs, man. Really enjoyed this conversation for sure. So definitely, man, if I need something happening, something happens between the two teams, man, I already know Nick's first contact.
Call me.
I'm going to try to see if I can install speed dial on here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That contact in quickly, man. But yeah, man. So like, listen, guys, y'all know who I am. Y'all know where to find me. Bryce Sinners for 2K on Twitter. Obviously, Instagram, same thing as well. If you listen to this through audio, any audio platform that you're listening to this on, leave a rating and review. If this thing's on YouTube, like the video, subscribe, share it with your friends, connect everybody. If you got Spurs friends, connect them with this video too. This video has things for them as well. So definitely appreciate everybody tuning in. This is your Believe in Hawks episode podcast. It's your boy Bryce Lewis. We'll see you next time.